Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Some people tend to slow down after their children are grown and out of the house, take it easy, and let life go by quietly. Others see this time in their lives as an opportunity to explore the world around them, seek adventure, and achieve goals that may never have been considered in their younger years. My guest today, Tom Donnan, is one such person. Tom experienced cardiac arrest in 2006, at which time God spoke to him in the spiritual realm. "It is only while you are on earth that you can work for Jesus," was the message. Tom loves doing the work for Jesus and pursues it with a passion. With a second chance in life, his goal is to help bring people into a relationship with God and experience Him. He is seeking to be in ministry full-time. Tom is the author of 5 books. His first 3 books are nonfiction and include Healing the Nation, Spiritual House Cleaning, and Pastors and the Presence of God. His fictional works, inspired by true stories, include 714 Angels on Assignment and his latest, One Door Between Us, the first book in a small series. Tom has 3 adult children and 5 grandchildren. He travels and enjoys meeting people and experiencing new places. Good morning and welcome to the show, Tom.
Patty, thank you very much for having me on the show. I am so excited to be able to share with people. You know, that's my life's passion is to share Jesus Christ and what he has done in my life. And I love the opportunity to be able to talk with you today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's such a pleasure to have you here. As readers of my blog may know, you were a guest on my blog here a couple of weeks ago on the Over 50 Writer. And that's where, after reading you had sent me kind of a longer bio than what I was able to put on the blog. And after I saw that, I said, wow, this is a candidate for my for my Step Into the Light show. So I'm glad that we were able to arrange this for today, Tom. I usually like to ask my guests to kind of take us to the beginning. And with that, I'm going to ask you, what kind of childhood experiences contributed to your life today as a writer and a Christian? Did you grow up in a Christian home or not so much? Did you, as a kid, were you one of those that just couldn't wait for the teacher to give an essay assignment? Or give us a little bit of background on that.
Well, it is something I was thinking about this before we had connected about which direction to go in. And so I'm 66 years old, and for the most part of my life, I have tried to forget the first 17 years. So that kind of gives you an indication of what was going on. It was a mixed bag of events. And when I say that is that there was, of course, good and bad. Now, what happened outside the house was usually a lot of fun. My sister and I kept right on the inside of getting in serious trouble, but we did have a lot of laughter in our lives. One of the times was that I had purchased what we did in those days where we take a bicycle and put a lawnmower motor on it, and then it would become, like a mini motorcycle. And she used to take that thing from me, and she'd be gone for hours. I was trying to figure out, where in the world is this girl? And so we had a lot of fun, but also there was a lot of tragedy that was in the household, and we lived mostly in the life of denial, And in that denial, there was the excruciating pain, spiritual pain, physical pain, emotional pain that we ignored. And because of the circumstances, says this is just normal life. This is what it is, not realizing that it was a deception. And so that first 17 years was pretty difficult. Now I am starting to open up a little bit more and say that, abuse is terrible and it does a lot of destruction to our lives. At the same time, I live in the light of Jesus, stepped into the light, and how he has been rebuilding my life. It's been absolutely wonderful. And I think that's why I like reaching out, so that I can encourage people either to come into that relationship with him or to grow in his relationship with him. And a big part of it was the struggle in that first 17 years, the good and the bad, but I will say where I grew up was in the southwest corner of Chicago, called a place called Mount Greenwood. And it was a great place for kids to grow up. You know, we were free to go in a lot of different directions, and we did. And really had the freedom to be able to do that. I was raised in a Catholic home, went through Catholic school, and I had a good education. I was mechanically orientated, but I'll tell you what, if I had to construct a sentence, I couldn't do it. You know, I could fix the mechanical stuff without, you know, knowing really how it worked. I could fix it, but sentences were terrible. And then in spite of all of that, I got this desire in my heart. I've always had this desire in my heart that I wanted to write a book. Now, does that make sense at all?
Yes and no.
Well, the thing is that every time that my life gets really free and good, I have this inspiration to write a book. And I will tell you, I took the bull by the horns, as they say. And when my kids were young, I went back to one of the community college, and I started taking those essential courses to be able to do the sentence diagrams and learning the grammar. And it really was hard, and taking essay writing and different classes on that. And I think it gave me the foundation to begin, but it really was God who opened up the door for this to take place, because I wasn't even raw material. I was just, you know, oozing. And he just brought people into my life to be able to help me be molded and shaped into a writer, which is truly a miracle.
Well, I love to hear stories about that, Tom, of people that they start out and they don't think that they have the capability to do that, but then God shapes them and uses them, and it is quite amazing what comes out of that.
Well, I will have to say, when I started writing, the funny part was is that I got to chapter 6 and I decided to go back and thank God for Microsoft Word. You know, with the blue lines telling your structure is wrong, or the red lines telling you're misspelled something. You know, that was a tremendous help. And now if I can write a page without having a colored line show up, I'm thinking that this is really tremendous. Nope. So by the time I got to chapter 6, I went back and I reread chapter 1, and I thought, this is terrible. You know? So I had to start rewriting it. And then, of course, I learned about the editing process, because I was thinking I had to give them a finished work all ready to go. I had no idea that there were editors that helped you puff it up and make it look better and tell you, hey, you got a gap here, a mental thought process. And then
right.
It helped me to really relax.
Yeah. Well, Tom, your acceptance of Jesus into your life was you mentioned your sister, and it was precipitated by a rather dramatic event in your life. Would you tell us about it and also share with us the feelings that the choice you made evoked?
Okay. I'd be glad to do that. Now, there's been a couple of times in my life that I would say that I was contemplating suicide. And that shows you just how hard things were. And
yes.
The first one, of course, was at my home when I was a kid. I was 12 years old when my mother passed. And that was really hard. Then, of course, you know, my dad didn't know what to do, and he really changed over the next couple of years. And so I was thinking, what in the world? I mean, I was just under so much pain. I mean, it's emotional pain can turn into physical pain. And I was pretty much on my own for a period of time. And that's when the thought started thinking, and man, this isn't worth living. And as I was crying out emotionally, spiritually, God brought to me Sea Scouts from my local church. And that was my bridge over troubled water. That lasted for probably about 16 years. When the second bout of that came, is that the emotional pain that I had was just absolutely amazing, which brings back the discovery of God, you know, that we're going to get to. But he brought me through information of understanding why I was under that emotional pain. But it was at that time I was primed and ready for change, and that's when my sister Sandy had colon cancer, and she's 39 years old, and she's getting to be towards the end of her life. You know, it was, you know, and so which was made it so hard. So here it is, the second time that I'm struggling with a family member that is terminally ill. And as a child, they wouldn't let me go see my sister, and I wouldn't let us go see my mother when she was in the hospital. So there wasn't that last word, or there wasn't that last hug. You know, it was just empty. So when Sandy got sick, I was determined, this is not going to happen again. No?
Sure.
So she was spending the last couple of weeks of her life down at Rush St. Luke's Hospital. And so what I would do is I came up with this plan. I had, you know, I had to work and I had to take care of family. So what I did is that I would go down there at I would arrive about 7:30, quarter to 8, and then I would stay with her through the night. I would sleep in the lounger, and if she needed something or we were talking, or you know, I would stay with her, and then I'd get up for work in the morning, and then I would go home that day, and then I would repeat the following day. And so this was going on for a while. So the presence of God in my sister's room was very pleasant. It was to the point where the staff was coming in to see Sandy, even when they didn't need to see Sandy, because they wanted to come into their room because it felt so good. No?
So they just had that feeling of spiritual presence there, yep.
Yeah, God's presence was so sweet. They seemed to understand what was going on, but I was still a hard nut spiritually, you know, and I was just trying to hold on and everything. So we're watching TV one night about 9 o'clock, and she turns to me and she says, "Tommy, if you invite Jesus into your life, he will help you with your problems." And then she turns back to watch TV. I was thinking, what? You know, I was thinking, what is she talking about? Of course, my other sister had been witnessing to me for about 10 years. And I just blew her off. Don't talk to me about this Jesus stuff. But this was the sister that I was open to. So I didn't discount it. But then the weirdest thing happened. I could not let go of that. No, I was struggling with this thought. It was like ever present on my conscious mind. And so that was a Wednesday. That was May 5th. And so I'm struggling back and forth. And so on May 7th at 6:30 in the evening, I thought to myself, I'm gonna do this. I know what my life in the past was like, and it was terrible. I can't take that anymore. But it was scary to let go of the control of my life because of all the stuff that I was repressing, to follow Jesus where, and I don't know where he's going to take me. I mean, he might send me to Africa. Who knows? You know?
Yeah.
It's so it was a scary thought. So, but I knew I wanted that because I couldn't take what was behind me. I needed to trust him and move forward. So I thought, I'm mechanically inclined, right? I don't know how this works. No, I want to be able to say, okay, I need to take this step or that step. And I couldn't tell what the step was. So I decided that I was going to say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but I am asking that you would come into my life and into my heart and that you would help me. And it was amazing. It was a dramatic transfer within days. I tell people the way to be able to categorize this is, it's as if I was living in the dark in a cave all my life, and then Jesus walked in with a light, and for the first time I could see. And that was the beginning, and it's been upward and onward ever since there. Now, I always tell people, I tell them, my life is never boring because God always has something new around the corner to be able to either go through or come through or enjoy, you know, and it's been an absolutely miraculous event. And so that's what I like to share with people, because I want others to be able, especially those that have had troubling backgrounds or going through difficulties, you know, to be able to have this opportunity to be able to have life with Jesus on their side.
Exactly. Yes. And it sounds like you're so enthused, and I love to hear that, Tom. Like, I mean, obviously this really made a difference in your life, and hence the name of the show, Step Into the Light, because I love to interview people who just have that sense of, yeah, either stepping out of darkness for the first time and into light, or experiencing a shadow in their life and coming back out into the light. And we'll get to that later. But share with us some of the changes that have occurred in your life since you made that decision.
Well, okay, that comes for another word picture, because you know what? Sometimes I got to contemplate this stuff. I get to the end of these things where I start thinking, because I don't want to just suspect. I want to know that I know. So I will spend time just walking around. I will be thinking, I'll be praying, and I'm trying to categorize this stuff. I tell people often, I think I'm a slow learner. It takes me time to figure this stuff out. No? And so as I am going through these things, I decided that the best way to describe this is that in our human character, we have 100 wooden blocks. Remember the blocks with the letters of the alphabet on it?
No, I sure do.
So I expanded a little bit to say that there's 100 wooden blocks, and they all got a number, 1 from 100, right? So if you stack them on top of each other in rows of 10, you have the first ones on the bottom being 1 through 10, which are the main character building blocks of life in our character. And then you start going up, upward in different aspects of our characters and souls and spirits and stuff. And so I say that when Jesus came in, he more or less comes, you know, to me in, like, let's just say a way of a word picture, you know, is that, Tom, we're going to work on item number 19. No, and I'm thinking, well, Lord, you know, okay, 19's in the second row. What's wrong with the first row? And the thing is that the first row was, like, way too much for me to be able to deal with. Let's deal with 19, and it's going to make it easier to deal with something on the first row. No? Mm-hmm. And that's how it's been happening. He's been rebuilding my life, my character, and undoing the damage that has happened. I love the verse that is in Romans 8:28-29. I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. No, that's yes. Jeremiah 29:11. I got
to say, was Jeremiah 29:11, but
oh, what is that? For we know that those who love God, He works all things out for the good according to His purpose. But then it goes on to say that He transforms us into the image of His Son Jesus. Now, why would He want to do that? And the reason is because Jesus is the perfect healthiness, right? And so
yes.
Human beings, we're dysfunctional. I didn't even know how dysfunctional I was until He started healing me of some of these things. No? And so as He's been bringing healing into these building blocks, I'm becoming more like the healthiness of Jesus Christ and maturity and the growth. And then what I understood is that I get to enjoy more of life because these things are being taken care of. The things that held me down before or held me back or were painful, He is now removing and replacing them, and it becomes very exciting because now, of course, you know, like I mentioned before, 66, it's getting to the point where I'm really enjoying life here. No, that's what I like. I like the fact that He is rebuilding my life and helping me to understand and then turn around and use my testimony to be able to help other people in a variety of ways, which He has brought me through tremendous stuff. I will often tell people that I have a prophetic gifting, and which is a little bit different. The dreams, the visions, the experiences, the expectations or visitations, I have been going to pastors for a while, and I was pretty much begging them, please tell me what's going on with my life here. And they couldn't tell me what was going on because God was doing something that was preparing me for the future and equipping me with spiritual gifts that really, in my area of life, people hadn't ever experienced before. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to hold on for the ride. And then as I started to get experience, then I started to understand more. And now that experience is being used to help people all over the place, which is really that's fun. You know, it's like coming into a teacher mode. You know, and when you see the light come on in somebody else's eyes because their mind has gotten it, that is fun. I like that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Tom. And I wanted to say, you have a passion to work for Jesus. And I thought it was interesting. I always love to read people's backstory. And you just gave me a single line, which I don't think I included in my bio here of the show. But you were an elevator mechanic, which, you know, to me, that's just a fascinating profession because I could not imagine being able to work on a piece of machinery ever. But you say that your passion is to work for Jesus. And I'd be interested to know, how did you manifest that passion? And was it something that you were able to convey to the people that you worked with? Or did you really not have that drive back when you were working?
Oh, no, that was always there. Part of it is that, of course, for the listeners, that this is an unusual sequence of events. I'm sorry for the stuttering because I got like 10 thoughts going on in my head that I want to talk about. And because I get so excited, I get excited about this stuff. So back in, let's say, 2006, on January 20th, I had this unbelievable over-the-top experience with God where He is showing me what He wants to have happen in the American church. And I'm trying to process this thing for quite some time, but in the short run, on February 6th, just 3 weeks later, I had that heart attack and I died. Now, does this make sense? It gives me the overtop experience that is like way down the road, and then I die, you know? And so, which was fascinating because I'll tell you, I was telling those paramedics, listen, I got this fire rolling up my legs from my toes. And they said, don't worry about it. And the next thing I know, God's talking to me. I think it was something to worry about. And so, yes, but then when I came back after that experience, the third day in the ICU unit with my fourth stent, they told me that it was the widowmaker. Only 3% of the people who have that heart attack survive. And yeah. I know God had enabled me to be able to do that because he was basically telling me, Tom, I got work for you to do. You're not a keeper right now. I'm throwing you back. So get back there and do the work.
Well, I love doing back, I like that.
I love doing the work. And so then I was really on the third day, I'm laying there in ICU, and a doctor comes in and she says, how does it feel to be back from the dead? And it was like, bam, all of a sudden I realized, okay, that was the spiritual realm. It was over. I was dead, you know. And then they hit me with the defibrillator. They brought me back, and now I'm trying to recover. And in the recovery mode, before I actually get back to work, I am pleading with God, please use my life. I don't want it to be not utilized, you know. Please use my life. And then, of course, he put my feet upon a path. And I started researching that vision that he had given me. It was more than a vision. It was an experience. And I don't know really how to explain it. He brought me somewhere. Like the Apostle Paul says, whether I was in the body or out of the body, you know, he starts that way. And it's kind of like that. He brought me somewhere, and he showed me stuff in detail that he wants to see happen for America. And then I started getting into deciphering what the message was, and it brought me to a pastor in Texas, because I knew that revival was involved. And so I Googled revival in Texas, and he came up. Pastor Phil Corbett came up. So I contacted him, and we both had this passion. And so that's when I decided, okay, we're going to try to figure this out. So we started offering our services to churches in the Assembly of God, mostly, you know, saying that, hey, if you want to have these revival meetings, you know, we'll come down and we won't charge anything, and we will hold the meetings. And that started in 2009, and that's been ongoing since that time. And there's nothing like seeing God show up and heal bodies, deliver souls, you know, and gift people with the Holy Spirit. And I love watching the pastor's expression on their face when they realize, you mean there's more? There's more for us to enjoy of God in this world? And we're like, yes, yes, he gets it, you know, or she gets it. And so, yeah, that really has been a catapult, and we've been doing that for a number of years now. This, well, you know, I like God in the sense that he has confirmation and order in things, okay? So,
yes,
Pastor Phil was starting to write a book. I'm also writing a book, and the two of us are going together, but I'm about 3 months ahead of him. Okay. And so what happens is that I send in my book under a contract to be published, and I put in a note about him in there. And so once they got the publisher got the contract, they contacted him and wanted to know what he was writing. And so they decided that they wanted to publish him at the same time. Okay. So here you have two first-time authors that are in a season, which is after 2008, where nobody wants to spend money, especially on an author that nobody wants to know about, you know, hasn't heard of.
Tom?
Yeah.
Before we get into your writing, can I just take a real short break and make listeners aware of who they're listening to, and then we'll come back, okay?
Sure, go right ahead.
Is that okay with you? Okay, because I definitely want to get into your writing career. So, folks, I just want to make you aware that I know sometimes we have people that come into Blog Talk Radio show and they don't really know what show they're listening to or who they're listening to. So you are listening this morning to this afternoon, whenever you're listening, to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. I am thrilled to have guest Tom Donnan on the show today. Tom is an author of 5 books. He is also a gentleman who just has a real passion for sharing the love of Jesus Christ with people. And we have spent the first half of the show kind of talking about his background a little bit and what brought him to this point, and the fact, the different ways that, that he does share that passion. But he also has a writing career that he really did not launch until he was in his 60s. And that's what I'd like to talk about now. But I just wanted to make listeners aware that that we do have Tom on the show today. If you would like to learn more about him, his Amazon author page and his Healing the Nation Facebook ministry page and his email address will be available on my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. You will find all of the Step Into the Light shows right there. And you click on Tom's show and you will come to a more information tab, and that will lead you to these links that can give you a little bit more information about Tom. I would also remind folks that this show is on archive, so if you're listening to it and you missed part of it, or you'd like to listen again, or you'd like to refer it to friends or family, it's available on archive all the time. And once again, PattiSheene.com, PattiSheene.com, and you go to the top tab that says Blog Talk Radio, and it'll give you a list of all of the shows that we have recorded to date. So I would encourage folks to learn a little bit more about Tom, and please stay with us as Tom shares with us his writing career. Tom, I'm sorry to have interrupted you, but I kind of wanted to take that little break.
No, absolutely fine. It gives me another couple of seconds to think about where I want to go with this. Okay. All right, so, you know, we're living in America right now. What happens is that we have a lot of people that they have thoughts of God, but really what people are looking for is a manifest God, somebody who is active in presence in a person's life, and that seems to be devoid a lot. So that people have opinions, but when you got somebody who's got an experience, all of a sudden they don't know what to do with it. No? And so that's where I was bringing the connection with the book. You see, when I put that contract in the mail for my book to be published, it was on 9/11. Was it 2012? Yeah, 9/11/2012. And the name of the book is Healing the Nation. No? And so he was confirming to me that he has this under control. And then they see Pastor Phil has a very good book that is connected to the same topic. And so they decided that they're going to publish them together. So then it normally takes 5 months, but because he was further behind with me, they were going to do it together. So they put it off to where they were going to give us a release date sometime in the future. Now, after I put that contract in the mail, because of the prophetic quickening or sensitivity that I have, I started to notice this number 808. And I'm thinking, why does it seem to be popping out at me every time I turn around and I see this number? It's like driving me crazy, right? So I had a ministry where I was down in Branson, Missouri, ministering at a church down there. And I check into the Radisson Hotel in Branson. And what room do you think I get?
808.
Yeah. Now I'm like, okay, come on. I get up into the room and I throw my bag onto the bed and I said, Lord, what in the world does the 808 mean? And so then I quieted my mind and the thought was, it's going to take 8 months and 8 days before your book is released. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I didn't tell anybody, right? So we were going along, and as we find out that they do give us a release date, and they got it all coordinated. Our books kind of like have the same kind of cover designed by the same person, and they give us the release date of May 19th. I think it is 2013, right? So I looked it up. You're not going to believe this. May 19th is Pentecost Sunday.
Okay,
What an awesome day to have the books released. And so we had a big signing event that took place in his church down in Corrigan, Texas, for the big kickoff. And that has helped us to be able to have other doors opened up so that we could go and minister. And to give people an idea of what I'm talking about is that one of the places we went to was in a small town in Central Texas. And we went down there, and I wasn't quite sure what to do. And, you know, I love to talk with people to be able to share Jesus. And this pastor didn't know me, so he said that Phil could speak. But I wasn't going to be allowed to speak, and I was devastated. But why am I going? I'm going to be used of God. So I went there as an intercessor to be able to pray according to how God wanted me to pray. And so I went down there, and I had anointed the property and prayed for it. And the next morning, I get up in the morning, and I heard this soft voice that says, the suitcases are gone. And I'm thinking, what in the world? You know, there's my suitcase right over there against the wall. I Google it, and I'm getting definitions about what suitcases were and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I couldn't really pin it down, but that night during the church service, I'm telling you, it broke open. And what I mean by that is as if God stepped in, took the atmosphere of the church, divided it right down the middle, pushed it to the walls, and then let his love settle in that church sanctuary. It was absolutely awesome. You know, I couldn't believe it. I discovered my soul is made to exist in the saturating love of God. And so I'm like in my own experience when I see this gentleman that had come with us to help out as well. His name is Donnie. He's up in the front row, and the man is crying sobs. You ever see those sobs where you cry so bad? I'm telling you, the graphic here is going to be, you know, terrible. But the man had snot running out of his nose. That's how hard he's crying, right? And so I'm thinking, wow, and I'm looking around because I like to see what God's doing with other people's lives. But you see, here's the thing about Donnie. You see, Donnie was diagnosed with facial cancer, and he had been having treatments for his cancer, right? So he knows that he is going to be disfigured with these different things that are going to be taking place over the next couple of years and down the road of his life. Okay, so he's up there, he's bawling and crying like a baby. Pastor Phil didn't pray with him. As a matter of fact, Pastor Phil didn't pray with anybody because God just took over. 2 days later, the cancer peeled off of Donnie's face like a sunburn and never came back.
Oh, my
goodness.
Absolutely
amazing. Yeah, God showed up. He healed him, and just because he wanted to do it. This is, like, absolutely awesome. This is the kind of stuff that we see that takes place when we go to different meetings where, you know, people get their lives back. They get their normals like they were before, you know, whether it's physical or spiritual. This is the type of thing that, you know, I'd like to see it spread across America. But right now it's being confined pretty much to small churches all across the Midwest. And so how can you not get excited about stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
definitely.
That's part of the work that I've been doing.
Well, it sounds very exciting. I just love to hear the excitement in your voice because it's kind of contagious.
Well, I like being contagious. You know, here's the thing is, like, I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to vary off a little bit on another story, which did give people the idea of how much we see God move in such tremendous ways that there's no doubt that he's doing it. And that would be is that I had an experience where God had brought me to the nation of Fiji in the spiritual realm. That's the only way that I can explain it. And I was there, which seemed to be like an idea of two days, okay? And in the 2 days, I had the spirit of the church, so to speak, just pouring out her heart because she wanted more of God to be there. And I'm listening to all of this, and then he shows me why it's not happening and who is control of why it's not happening. And then next thing I know is that I'm like, okay, back in my room, all right? Okay, the big question becomes, what in the world do I do with it? I've never been to Fiji. I don't know nobody in Fiji, you know? And so I had a little bit of whining in there. Did you hear it?
Yeah, a little bit.
So, but then that's where the thinking starts coming in. So I decided, okay, we got email these days. So I started emailing pastors in Fiji. And, of course, you know, that's a little weird, right? And I did get a couple of pastors to respond. But then what happened is that there is this gentleman, his name is Michael Livengood, who has evangelistic ministry. And he's from New Zealand. And in New Zealand, there's a lot of connections with the Fijian church. And so he gave me 20 emails to contact somebody. So I started contacting this pastor that was on the main island, and he would go by boat to the outer islands to do evangelism. And so I had contacted him. And now here's where it becomes really strange, all right? I had no idea of what was going on with Phil, because Phil is ministering in Ireland. And what he's doing there, he's going to different churches to help open up the spiritual realm and see people healed and gifted by God and salvations and things of that sort. Okay, and the second or third night he's there, the hosting pastor and his wife, he got to know pretty well. All right, so when he's over there, because I had already told Phil these stories, right, about how I was reaching out to people, because we talk quite often. And then what happens is that the pastor or the wife says, yeah, I have a son-in-law who's a pastor in Fiji.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Can you believe
wow.
it? It's the same guy. So here I'm emailing a pastor in Fiji, and on the other side of the world, Phil connects with his in-laws. And it's absolutely mind-boggling. This kind of stuff happens for us all the time. And that's where I say my life is never boring.
Wow.
So
that's
really
I've something.
Had it happen. I've had it happen with a pastor and Malawi. The same thing happened in Malawi, because, you know, here's the thing. God shows up in ways that they have never experienced before and, like, blows their mind away. You know, it's just absolutely amazing. The pastor in Malawi, once the Holy Spirit showed up and the presence was so strong, a year later he started a school and was feeding 800 kids twice a day for five days a week. And now he's planting churches in other countries, and it's just phenomenal. Right now I have a pastor that I'm connecting with in the island of St. Kitts. Now, you had mentioned that you like the cold weather. I like warm turquoise water. No. So when I was down in St. Kitts, this was like absolutely amazing. But now God's starting to do something down there. And so this is like really fun for me. I had no idea that God had this in store for my life. You know, getting back to Jeremiah 29:11, I had no idea. And so to be able to be used of this way, I want to see it happen in America. I want to see other things taking place here, because I'll tell you what, when somebody comes into salvation and they have the light of Jesus coming into their life, oh, wow, it's like refreshing, you know. And we got the story about the woman who was at Jesus' feet, was crying and weeping and washing his feet with, you know, and drying it with her hair. I mean, that when Jesus touches you and washes you in the blood and takes away your sins, I mean, you are so grateful. You know, it's absolutely amazing. It's hard not to get involved with working for him after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Tom, tell us what you've written. Excuse me. You've written three nonfiction books. What is the overall message in those books?
My heart's desire is to get people connected to a close relationship with the Lord. I want them to be experiential, because you see, when God touches them in a manifest way, they know that they know that they know that God is real and God is alive and something that they can interact with. And that's why I like to get them tapped into him in that manner. That's where my main focus is. Because when that happens, then the Lord can direct them wherever it is that he has his plans for their life. So I like to get people tapped into that. But the first book was more or less out of necessity, because anybody that has read the Bible has probably come across the book of Amos. And I'm telling you, people are not blocking to read the book of Amos. No, so it's kind of an obscure book, but the important part is that Amos was sent to Israel to say, hey, listen, you guys are messing up. You're messing up big time, because you got a lot of sin in your life, and you need to clean it up or you're going to have a disaster. So that was pretty much the message that I saw on January 20th, 2006, is that the message for America, we need to repent. And if you don't repent, now, this is what's going to happen, which is another dramatic message. And the message is that America, as we know it, will come to an end. And that's what I had put into the book, Healing the Nation, is how to get close and connected with God, get people cleaned up spiritually, get them gifted so that we can start to change the flow of the direction by going through repentance. So that's the main focus of Healing the Nation. And so that wasn't selling too well, as far as the ministry aspect. So I took the prayers out of that, the intercessory prayers, and I put it in spiritual house cleaning. God's intent is that he wants to have the church inherit his presence and also to have a spiritual transfer of ownership of the property that they are on. You see, sin corrupts, and once it is corrupted, that gives evil the ability to come and go as they please. So the spiritual transfer is to wash away those grounds by which people have placed on there because of sins that have taken place, and to get it cleaned up and angel stationed there, and then the property or the building becomes attractive to the presence of God. And once the presence of God comes in, then all kinds of wonderful things take place. You get the darkness out of the way, and people gravitate towards the light. And when they start to experience the light, they're looking for salvation. And that's the whole point of this, is to bring people into that relationship with the Lord. So that was the second book, was to make it easier for people to get the intercessory prayers to do that. Because I want to have a safe environment by which people can open themselves up spiritually. And this is the best way that I could construct for people to be in that environment, so that they could not have to worry about what's going on, but just to have the Lord come and touch their lives. And then Pastors in the Presence of God is seven pastors who have had this presence come into their life. Four of them I may have contributed to this effect, and three of them had an interaction with God in other ways. But what it did to transform their lives and their ministries is absolutely amazing. Four or five of them are now international ministers, where they go outside the country to be able to minister. And we're talking signs and wonders here, healings and deliverances. You know, it's just absolutely amazing stuff. And so the stories that I could continue to relay is just absolutely amazing. But you know what? People don't necessarily want to gravitate towards that. They like a good story. So I decided that I was going to branch out and write a true story in a fictional way, and that's how I came up with 714 Angels on Assignment. Now it's about
Chronicles 714. Yeah, that was my next question. How did you jump to fiction?
Yeah, people love a good story, you know?
Yes, they do.
And so when I was down in El Paso ministering down there with Pastor Fuller, the reason that we had gotten in touch with this pastor down there is an absolutely phenomenal story that I'm going to tell you now. And that is that this pastor was really sick. He was an ER nurse, and he would be standing up a lot. He had gotten some kind of infection in his leg that wouldn't go away. And so what happened is that it was getting worse and worse and worse, to the point that if he didn't get God's ear, he was going to die. No? So, you know, that's desperation. So he started crying out to God, and as he was laying in his bed one night, he's going through Facebook, connecting with people in the church because he hasn't had a chance to be able to connect with them because he's been bedridden. And he comes across a long-lost friend that went through Bible school with him, and what happened is that he contacted her and said, please pray for me. And she goes, well, I'm not the one that needs to pray for you. Pray my husband. You need to have my husband pray for you, because he's got this healing ministry. And so God wound up almost instantaneously healing him 100%. It was like 70%, and then the rest came over a while, and that opened up the door for the two of us to go down there. So that is the premise of the book, is that how he enacted 2 Chronicles 7:14. I show people what happens on the heaven side, and then I show people what happens on the earth side, and then how the two of them mixed to where God restored this man's life. And that was 10 years ago, and he's still doing very good. So that's why that book had come about, so that I could show the true story. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people are interested in Second Chronicles these days, and every day we move forward, and more people are getting interested in 7:14. So once I finished that, I started to decide, okay, who could I write about next, right? So here we are, Phil and I are ministering in Oklahoma City, and we were invited to go out there by three lady pastors because they want to see the supernatural happen in their ministry. So we get out there, and I got a little bit of an idea that there was something interesting in their lives. So Phil was busy. I invited the three ladies out to coffee at, you know, like a Starbucks or something like that, and I was going to ask them some questions to write another small book like I had just done with this pastor from El Paso, and I started asking him questions, and I was just blown away. I couldn't believe the stuff that happened so early in their lives, to which God had intervened in their lives before they even knew him, you know. So I decided, okay, I'm going to write about these three ladies. So I started out last July, and I started writing the story. And here was the hard part. This senior pastor, she is so humble. I had to pull the stuff out of her, you know. She had so wonderful stuff in the background, and I was just pulling it out of her. And so in January, I got to 50,000 words, and I wasn't even close to being done with her. And so I was starting to panic because the production costs were going to be out of sight. And then I remembered that I had a prophecy given to me 7 months ago that I was going to write a series of books. Can you believe that? Before I even realized that I was going to need that information, God already gave it to me.
God already gave it to you.
Yeah, yeah. And so I started calming down, but then that's what the latest book, One Door Between Us, is the life about her family and how God interacted in very powerful and decisive ways and how it transformed into her life. She truly had two important doors in her life, and that is that she opened up the door to love that has been a long-lasting, and the second is that she opened up to the call of God upon her life and how that has been directing her life ever since. And so the reader gets to see the transformation of what happens. You see, I started it 1 week before salvation came to this household, and then you get to read about the changes that took place in their lives and how things were directed in different ways and how they became a blessing to the community and how she branched off on her own and the healings that took place and the churches she was involved in. Of course, I use creative license, you know, to try to really make it interesting.
Sure.
But most of the stuff in there is either the things that I have experienced, you know, as true stories, because I talk about her dad being a boiler maker. And so being in the elevator industry, I have been so many places that gives me the understanding of how things work. And so I'm able to use that information to construct the stories in a way that help convey the message. And it was a really fun project. And I do have the second pastor that I started on already, but I had to take a break because I have been taking classes through Global University so that I could become a certified minister on my road upward. And
wonderful, Tom.
Well, I'll tell you, I have been trying to contact pastors, but when you're on the outside, it's a little bit harder. So I'm going to try it from the inside and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's wonderful that you're doing that.
Well, I am not a person that I can sit still. I don't know. I just have to keep growing. I have to keep going. And
sure.
With the book is always trying to figure out new ways to open up doors. And you've been a tremendous blessing for me today to be able to share this information, because I think it gives people a glimpse of a God that they might not know of. And a God that I really have gotten excited about. And if this ever stopped, I would be devastated. This is so much fun. It's incredible.
Well, it's been a blessing to have you on the show today too, Tom. And I want to thank you for sharing your enthusiasm and your passion and telling us about your books. And I just am so grateful that you were able to be here today. So I want to thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you for letting me be here. And I'm hoping that the readers will be able to listen to the message and get curious about the books. Like you said, they're on Amazon, and they are available, because this is just a snippet, you know, of the adventure that I've been through, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what we like to do, is give people a little kind of an overview of a person's life and experiences and passion, and then that kind of leads them to hopefully you know, go on and get your books and look into further as to what you're about. So again, I want to thank you so much, Tom. We're about out of time. Is there anything else you wish I had asked you that I didn't, that you would like to bring up before we say goodbye?
How did you know? You know, that's pretty amazing. The thing is that when I look back on my life, I am absolutely astounded how much I have grown as an individual. And the point is, I like who I am. You know, before there was so much struggle, there was so much pain, and there was darkness in my life. And in the time that the Lord has had me you know, had a control of my life and been bringing the healing. I like myself now. That is absolutely miraculous. And so that's what I want to share with people. Having a relationship with the Lord is truly a phenomenal gift. And, of course, it's eternal. My encouragement is that if people don't know Jesus, you know, it is the best thing that has ever happened to me to have Jesus come into my life and then to be able to share him with people. So don't hesitate to be able to move forward in him. Please invite him into your heart and your life because it'll change things dramatically.
Okay. Well, again, Tom, thank you ever so much for coming onto the show with us today. And it's been a pleasure to get to know you. And may God continue to bless you in your writing and in your ministry.
Thank you.
Listeners, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you so much for being with us today on the show. And I hope that you as listeners will pursue the links that I put on my website, which again is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And I certainly hope that you will order his books and take a look at the message that Tom has to give to individuals and to our nation. So until next time, may God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a glow.